Welcome to At Your Service from Erie's News Talk Station, Jet Radio 1400. The following is a paid commercial program. The content of this program is not an endorsement of the products or services described or discussed by this radio station, Connoisseur Media, the host, or other advertisers of the station, and is aired for informational purposes only.
From Northwest Pennsylvania Legal Services, good morning to you, Bob Oakley, and guests.
Good morning, and good morning to the listeners. We are here today with a very special guest we're honored to have, but first I just want to give a promo for us. We are Northwestern Legal Services, and I'm Bob Oakley. I'm director of Northwestern Legal Services. We provide free civil legal services to low-income people in 10 counties, which also includes, of course, Erie County. Our special guest today is the Pennsylvania Attorney General, Tom Corbett. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. We're very pleased to have you with us to discuss some very important issues. But first of all, I think a lot of people may want to know more about the Attorney General's office. For instance, I was surprised to find out that the Office of Attorney General was not elected prior to 1980, and you're only, I believe someone told me, the fourth elected Attorney General in Pennsylvania.
That's exactly right. Before that, the Attorney General was appointed by the governor. The office was much smaller than it is today. Served as counsel to the governor and to the various agencies of government that are at the state level. As a result of, quite honestly, some of the corruption during the Schaap administration when he was governor here in Pennsylvania, the people and the legislature passed a constitutional amendment and created what we call the Commonwealth Attorneys Act, which created the elected attorney general. And that's where I serve now. I was elected in 2004. I did serve in 1995 and 1996. I was appointed by Governor Ridge at the time to fulfill the unexpired term of Bernie Prieate when he resigned the office. But then I had to promise not to run in 1996. Didn't run, but decided to run in 2004. And now I'm in my third year of my second sort of term.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about and let the listeners know what the duties of the Attorney General's office are. You don't just have an office in Harrisburg. They're all over the state. Tell us a little bit about what the office does.
No, we have 22 offices across the state of Pennsylvania, including two here in Erie County alone. The Attorney General is described as the chief law enforcement officer and the chief civil officer. So let me talk on the civil side. First off, we represent the Commonwealth when it's sued or when the Commonwealth has to sue individuals or corporations or whatever. We review all of the regulations and contracts that the state gets involved in for form and that they're consistent with the law. We also have what we call Public Protection Division, and that has a lot of duties. I call them the special teams of the office. Our antitrust section reviews mergers and acquisitions. Many people may be familiar with the proposed merger of Highmark and Independence Blue Cross in Philadelphia. We are taking a look at that. We look at hospital mergers, so very involved in that area. We have the Consumer Protection Division within the Public Protection Division, and that deals with the people probably most. People have complaints about people who are doing work on their home and they may not be qualified to do the work, or they take their money and run and don't show up. They give us a call. They might have problems with a car. They might have problems with their health bill or something like that. They give us a call. And one that we're going to probably talk about a little bit is the telemarketers that call them and the do not call list. And our people do that. The 43 people in that office have, in that division, have handled over 43,000 complaints last year alone. Very busy office.
I can attest to your services through the Consumer Protection because I used their services and I was very satisfied. They did a good job.
The other side that people probably see quite a bit, particularly here, what we do in Erie, is our criminal side. We're not the boss to the district attorneys. We work closely with the district attorneys, and if a district attorney has a conflict in a case that for some reason he can't handle it, and I'll give you an instance, many times we have district attorneys who were defense attorneys, they get elected to become district attorneys, all of a sudden one of their former clients comes before them, they can't handle that case, they'll refer it to us, or if they have a lack of resources. And if you get into some of the smaller outlying counties, that you probably go all the way down to Forest County with this.
Yes,
Forest County, very small county.
And Cameron County.
And Cameron County, very small. If they have a lack of resources, they can give us a call, and we can assist them in handling the case and prosecuting the case. But we also have a drug section We work very closely with the district attorneys. In some places, we have drug task forces that we give the DAs the money to run the drug task force. In some places, we continue to run it ourselves. And up here, this is a district attorney-run task force by Brad Folk. We also have our own narcotics agents that do our own investigations across the state of Pennsylvania. We've been very busy in that regard. I think since I took office in January 2005, our agents have arrested and task forces have arrested over 2,000 drug dealers in the streets of Pennsylvania. One of the areas that we're very busy is dealing with the Internet and how the predators are on the Internet. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen To Catch a Predator on television. Our agents are online capturing those people who would prey upon the youth of our state that are using the Internet as a way to try and reach out and touch them or to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And in fact, we now have 85 arrests since I took office. So you can see it's just a very busy office, and we are all over the state of Pennsylvania.
That was a great segue, Tom, because that's the first issue I did want to talk about was cyber safety, and I know that's an issue that your office has been looking at, as you just suggested. Tell us a little bit about the cyber safety issues that you're dealing with and some of the initiatives in the Attorney General's office.
Well, I think all of us are a little concerned where we're going in the cyber world because we really don't know. If you talk to adults, especially adults over 35 or 40, and they have children, the children know more about what they're doing on the computer than the adults know about the computers. And I think it's very important for the adults to sit down and talk with their children about being safe online. I was just talking to a parent a little while ago who told me that they had a 16-year-old daughter, and he said, when she's on the computer, you know, you can be talking to her and she doesn't hear you. I said, well, that's because they're in their own little world in that regard. And it really has become a world. But it's a world that has great potential of what we can do in doing their homework and seeing what people are doing in other parts of the world. But it also has great danger. And that's what the parents need to understand, that the predators that have always been out there, people who want to have sexual relations with young children, and when I mean young, I mean 12, 13, 10, 11, those people are still out there, but they've just moved to the Internet, and they can actually hide behind the Internet and stay anonymous while they're chatting to students, chatting to young children online. That's one of the reasons we are out there with our agents trying to capture these people. And as I said, we've captured 85 so far across the state of Pennsylvania. We've done that with three and now six agents that are doing that. So we have a program not only to go and capture them, but we want to make the children aware of the dangers that are out there. We want to make the parents aware of the dangers. We want to make sure the parents are talking to their children and that the children are talking to their parents. So that's very important. And we know that many children get solicited online by predators. Not even asking for it. Somebody will just come into a chat room and start talking to them. So we have a program that we started in October of last year. It's called Operation Safe Surf. If somebody wants to take a look at it, it's very easy. If you have a computer, our website is www.attorneygeneral.gov. You can go on there and just look and click on the section that says Operation Safe Surf. And in there, it has tips for parents, for kids, and for teachers. In fact, just yesterday, I was down at a symposium being run by the Pennsylvania State Education Association, speaking to about 300 teachers in Gettysburg College about the program that we have. We set this program up in conjunction with the Pennsylvania Bar Association. We trained 300 lawyers. They are what we call Attorney General Advocates. They will go into the schools at the request of a school to our office. We will sign a lawyer if I can't go or one of my agents or attorneys can't go. They will go in and give a 45-minute presentation to the kids, and it's designed at different levels, elementary, middle, and high school, about how to be safe online, what to be aware of, what to be afraid of. How about not putting personal information on? Never put your full name on. Never put your home address on, and so forth.
That's interesting. Hopefully it'll have some very positive results, and perhaps you're seeing that already. I don't know.
Well, obviously it's having the positive results from the standpoint that we're capturing people, the investigatory side. On the education side, that's one thing that'll be very hard to measure.
Right.
And hopefully we've saved children just by having this happen. Most importantly, we encourage the children to go and talk to their parent or go and talk to their teacher or a responsible adult if somebody talks to them inappropriately. If somebody says, let's have this chat, but don't tell anybody. Well, if they're telling you not to tell anybody, there's something wrong with that chat. And get off of that chat pretty quickly. So we think we are having an impact with that because kids are telling parents. But we really want to make sure that the parents understand that they just shouldn't react by saying, okay, kids, you can't be on the computer anymore. That would be a mistake. The thing is to learn how to use the computer properly. Just as we give driver's license to kids that are 16, they learn to drive a car and somebody takes them out and teaches them. It's a great tool, but it's also a dangerous tool. We need to train our kids and teach them how to use the internet safely.
And I think you're exactly correct. It's also training the parents in what to look for and how to communicate.
Well, I think so exactly. I mean, my kids are grown. They're not even in college. I mean, they're in their work jobs now. One's an assistant district attorney in Philadelphia. One's a video gamer, creating video games. They understand us much better because they grew up with it. For those of us who are over 35, we did not necessarily grow up with it, so we may not have that comfortable feeling with the computers, and we just don't sit down and use the computer as our primary thought process. The kids today, that's the first thing they go to. And they understand it, and they get on, and they learn by trial and error, and they go through a computer sort of like we probably did to the VCR, and our parents didn't understand how the VCR worked.
That's true. Some of us still don't know how to hook those up. I do want to remind the listeners that we're talking with Attorney General Tom Corbett, and he's been good enough to spend time with us today. I'd like to talk about a different issue, changing tact a little bit, and talk about identity theft. I know that's another area that you're very concerned about. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what your philosophy is with regard to attacking that problem and what people may want to know.
Well, you know, we've always had identity theft. If you go back 32 years ago when I started as an assistant DA, it was just stealing somebody's credit card and signing it. We used to call it forgery in some respects, where we use somebody else's Social Security. Again, with the internet now, we have a different way of obtaining somebody's personal information and obtaining their identity. You can hack into systems. If a company has a security data breach where some hacker has gone in and gotten thousands and thousands of people's Social Security numbers, those Social Security numbers can then be used to create another identity that person may use somewhere else in the world that you wouldn't even know about, or somewhere else in the country. It can ruin your credit. Individuals can go out and create credit cards with that. And, you know, let me ask you this question. How many times a week do you get a credit card application in the mail? Probably 4 or 5 times a week you get a credit card application. Well, people can come in and steal things out of your mailbox. If they have your Social Security number or they have personal information on you, they can fill out that application, change the address to have it sent to another address, use that credit card until it hasn't been paid, and then just walk away from it. Well, who does that go back to? They had your Social Security number. That goes back to your credit score, and you're going to have to work to change your credit score and have it reflect what truly is your credit score, not something that somebody else has created. So identity theft has really become a great problem. One other area that it's become a great problem, most people haven't had this happen to them yet, is when we're talking about medical benefits. We all have our cards, a health plan that says we can go to the hospital and we'll get treatment in the hospital. We've had some cases where somebody has used the medical benefits of another individual at a hospital. So they go to that hospital. And let's say John Jones goes as John Smith into the hospital and creates an identity of John Smith. Now, he's really John Jones. He doesn't have any health benefits, but he's using John Smith's health benefits. And he goes into, let's pick St. Vincent. And they take him as a patient. They type his blood, and he's O, or he's AB, or whatever. Okay? And he uses all the benefits up and doesn't pay the copay, and then skips town after a surgery or something like that. Now, the real John Smith shows up one day. He gets taken to the hospital by an ambulance for some reason, goes into that hospital, here's his card. They already have a record on him, right? And what's that record say? Well, this is his blood type. Now what happens when his blood type is something different? So there's some real physical issues there. His benefits, maybe he went to use his benefits. His benefits have been used up in that regard. So medical identity theft is something that we are starting to see more and more. I'm interested in one kind of an ironic one, which is down in the southeast part of the state, where an individual used the medical benefits to get to get Viagra prescriptions filled. Hundreds and hundreds of Viagra pills this individual got on somebody else's medical benefits. So it's one that people need to be aware of, and they need to be very cautious with their personal information, with their Social Security. Some of the tips that we can use, I'll go around, I'll talk to senior fairs, and say, okay, how many of you know your Social Security number? And they all put their hand up. I know mine is 20, blah, 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 blah. Okay? I said, well, how many of you have your Social Security card in your wallet? Half of them put them up. Why? You don't need. What happens if somebody steals your wallet? They now have your Social Security. If you haven't memorized, you don't need to have it in your wallet. And so far, we've been able to get people to take it out of there. Extra credit cards. You don't need to carry extra credit cards. You know the two or three. Some people have 20 credit cards. You don't need all those credit cards with you at all times in case you lose them. It's much easier to notify two or three credit card companies that your wallet's been stolen than it is to notify 20. You can also request the credit card companies to stop sending you the pre-approved credit information. You know, you've been pre-approved for a $100,000 line of credit. Well, that's real nice, but I don't want that, and I don't want somebody stealing that. And there is a telephone number, 1-888-5-OUT, that allows you to notify the credit card companies you don't want those unsolicited pre-approved credit applications.
I don't want to stop you there because I think a lot of people know, and we're going to talk about that later, about the Do Not Call list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think as many people know about this opt-out project to stop all this incessant, here's a credit card, just call us or just, you know, send that back. So I would like the listeners to know, again, that what Pennsylvania Attorney General Tom Corbett just said, you can stop these pre-approved credit card solicitations by calling 1-888-5 opt-out, which is OPTOUT, to stop the mailbox filling offers that you get.
Absolutely. One of the other things is, you know, if it's been 6 weeks since you've received your credit card bill, start wondering where it is.
Instead of celebrating that you don't have a bill?
That's exactly right. Oh, I didn't get a bill. They didn't bill me. Well, maybe somebody changed where your bill was going to without your knowledge about that. And then when you get your bill, take a look at it. And I can tell you, I had a personal experience a couple of years ago. I got my credit card bill. Now, I had been in the habit at some point in time of just, you know, what's the bottom line? Okay, $120, here's $120, and send the end. Without really looking at the detail. Well, we really now are encouraging everybody to look at the detail. And in my case, there was an item there for $12, and I just did not know what it was. And I called up the credit card company, and they went, that's not yours, we know what that is. And that was somebody who had gotten my number and was testing to see whether it was still a good credit card. Mm. And it was a low charge, and they were trying to sneak in under the radar scope with a low charge. They didn't go real high charge. Just the other day, my wife was looking at our credit card bill, and what's this bill? We were in New York City for, I think it was like almost $600. And I said, I don't know. We were in New York City. I don't know. Well, later on, we remembered that she had bought herself a birthday present with it. So it was okay in that regard. But we're taking a look at that. So that's what we encourage people to really take a look at their information. They're going to get solicitations, and we can talk about the Do Not Call list a little bit. But when people call you, don't give out your personal information over the telephone. Be very careful how you do it on a computer. Make sure that if you're online, doing online shopping, and you are using your credit card, that it's a secure website that you're using. It has a little icon with a lock on it, that it is secure in that regard. And then finally, what we always encourage is people, when they're paying their bills, go put it in a little blue mailbox. Don't just put it in your mailbox with a red flag up that the mailman comes by and picks it up. Because you know what? That red flag tells the scammer, okay, there's mail in that box. If it's not secure, I can reach in. Now, let's see. I just found a Visa bill, and somebody's paying their bill. He takes that, and what does he have? He has the credit card number. He has the check. He has the checking account. And he has your signature. That's all he needs, isn't it?
You know, I never thought about that until someone from your office here in Erie mentioned that to me, and I go, whoa. Never thought about that.
I can honestly say I never thought about it until a couple of years ago either. We just, you know, because we've grown up that way. But in this day and age, we have to rethink what we're doing. And, there's enough blue mailboxes around. Or you can really get a secure mailbox that the mailman would have a key for, that he's the only one that can reach in and get it out of your mailbox.
And then, of course, if people want to file a complaint, they can.
Absolutely. We have two ways. We use the computer quite a bit. We encourage the people to take a look at our website. Our website is www.attorneygeneral.gov, as I said. Take a look at that. You can make a you can file a complaint online with us, or you can call our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-441-2555.
Those are good things, and I would suggest that Northwestern Legal Services on our website will also have a link to this information for people. Our website is www.nwls.org. I would remind listeners out there that this is a call-in show, and you should feel free to call. It. The number is 451-1400 or #41400 from Verizon. It's a free call. I think at this point, Tom, if we could direct our attention to the Do Not Call list. Everybody seems to know about that. My grandmother finally did sign up, and now I understand that the 5 years is starting to run, but I'll let you talk about all of that.
Don't you love the Do Not Call list? I mean, it's one of the things when I'm talking to a group, I ask everybody, how many people are signed up for the Do Not Call list? And I would say 75 to 80% of the people are signed up. I guess there are 20% that like those phone calls that come in just as you're sitting down to dinner. The Do Not Call list is directed at telemarketers that says that they have to buy our list and take a look at the Do Not Call list to see those people who don't want to receive those solicitations by phone. And many people have signed up for those. That started 5 years ago, and it's hard to believe it was 5 years ago. But it's only good for 5 years. So starting in August, that's next Wednesday, not today, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, starting August 1st, the renewal period for those people who signed up in 2002 begins. We will have our system set up. We will have our computer set up that the people can renew to say that they want to be on the Do Not Call list. They can also...
Excuse me, Tom. We have a call, and why don't we take that...
Good morning. You have a question for the Attorney General?
Yes, good morning. I know that there is a lemon law in Pennsylvania as far as vehicles. I was told, though, that there is not a lemon law for a commercial vehicle. Is this true?
That's a good question, and I'll have to admit, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I know it goes as to passenger vehicles. I am not sure, and I will have one of my attorneys get back to me and let me know. In fact, we will try and do it while we're on the air because we had a computer system. I can send an email to them to find out for you.
Here's my situation. We have a vehicle. It's a medium-duty vehicle. And we bought the 100,000-mile warranty. The warranty is just about up. The vehicle has been in the garage probably 23 to 25 times for major engine work. Now, this is anywhere from the radiator blowing to what's been in for three times is what they call an oil cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And if it runs for 4 to 6 weeks, I'm in my glory. Otherwise, it's in the garage, and I really haven't had any legal recourse because every time it breaks, they fix it. I mean, God only knows how much money they've dumped into this engine.
Did they give you a replacement vehicle in the meantime?
No. I'm
so you're down during that period of time.
I'm dead in the water. Thank God that I have a backup vehicle.
Well, as I said, I don't know the answer to that, but we're going to try and get an answer before we go off the air today. And if you keep listening, we'll let you know.
All righty. Thanks much.
Okay.
Thank you. Tom, I'm sorry. We were talking about the Do Not Call list and the 5 years beginning to run. Is that 5 years from the date, for instance, I signed up for it, or everybody who has already signed up has to renew?
No. It's 5 years from the date. If you signed up in 2002, then you have to renew right beginning in August. To renew. If you don't renew within the first month, by September 15th, month and a half, then you won't be on the list anymore. But finally, one of the things that what they should know is most people think it doesn't apply to your cell phone. It does apply to your cell phone.
They need to do one from your landline and your cell phone.
That's right.
We do have another call, I understand, Bob.
Yes, we do. Good morning. You have a question for the Attorney General.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, yes sir. I keep getting the call every week for... renew your auto auto warranty, and they don't tell you who you are and everything, and it says your warranty is up, and they keep calling me. And then I also get another call. I got a call yesterday from Discover Card. George Perez, well, we are going to send you your Discover card. Are you happy now? And this seems like a scam. Well, I don't even know who they are. You know.
Well, first off, let me ask you this. Are you signed up on the Do Not Call list?
No.
Well, you have to be on the Do Not Call list.
Okay, how do I do that again, sir?
Take a look at our website.
Okay.
Attorneygeneral.gov.
Okay.
Or call 1-800-441-2555.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have
more. Those lights are flashing. We have phone calls. Good morning. You have a question for the Attorney General.
Hi, guys. Can you give that website for the Do Not Call sign-up thing?
The website, the AG website where we have the link to Do Not Call is www.attorneygeneral, all one word, .gov, G-O-V.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
We have another one.
Good morning. You have a question for the Attorney
General?
Yes,
I have a question concerning, I'm a small business owner, and I get bombarded by the credit card companies and telemarketers. And I thought I was on the Do Not Call list. Is it applicable for small businesses in both categories? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I believe it is. We'll double check. Does it apply to the small businesses? In fact, I'm like 99% certain that it does. If you are on the Do Not Call list, or if you're not sure, you can give our office a call at 1-800-441-2555. We can look and make a determination whether your numbers are registered with us. If they are, then we're going to give you instructions if you're getting calls that you shouldn't be getting, and they will describe which ones you shouldn't be getting, because even though we have a Do Not Call list, there are certain categories that still may call. Credit card companies that you have a pre-existing financial relationship can continue to call you. For instance, maybe some people don't pay their bill on time and they get a call from a credit card company. Charities can continue to call. And the politicians are the one that passed the law. Politicians can give you a call.
I don't mean to interrupt. We have 20 seconds left.
All right.
So, Bob, we'll let you close things.
Thank you. And I appreciate everybody calling in. And I certainly appreciate Pennsylvania Attorney General Tom Corbett joining us this morning, giving us some very important information. This is Bob Oakley for Northwestern Legal Services and our show Access to Justice. Thank you for being with us.